What is it, son? Peacock! What is it?
Declan, you are one of God's teachers.
God! He is God!
Rawhead. That's what they called him.
Rawhead!
Upstairs, fuckface.
I can't keep God waiting.
God almighty. Maybe the Yank was right. Maybe there is something out there.
Dublin. Why don't you go fuck yourself?
Hi, this is Tony O'Dell from Chopping Mall, and you're listening to The Hysteria Continues.
And indeed you are. Welcome back to The Hysteria Continues, episode 96, I think. And this time we're going to the land of leprechauns and Guinness and Inga, the Republic of Ireland. And we're also joined by a very special guest, back with us again by popular demand, Johnny Krug from the Kruger Nation Horror Podcast. So, Johnny, how are you doing at this god-awful early hour?
I'm doing awesome. This is like the most excited I've been at 5 a.m. or 6 a.m.
6 a.m. I know. It just goes, again, it goes to show how, you know, how committed our guest hosts are. So we had Meep on last week at some deathly hour, and Johnny's joining us at crack.
Meep did have to get up at 5 a.m., so he wins.
Yes, he does.
Sorry, Johnny.
Yeah. But no, it's great to have you with us, Johnny. Because I know you've had a bit of a break with the podcast, but is it, when have you got new episodes coming out?
I had a new episode a week and a half ago. I'm working on some new stuff right now, but I just finished moving a few months ago. So that's what kind of the holdup was. I moved about 8 hours south.
Right. Okay. Well, if you haven't listened to Johnny's podcast, please do, because it is one of the best. And so we're always, as ever, delighted to have him with us. And we're going to be talking about Joseph's pick a little bit later, which is a controversial one, which is 1986's Rawhead Rex. So, Joseph, are you feeling proud of yourself?
Yes, I'm quite proud, because did you hear that little dig I threw at Dublin in there?
Well, yes.
The Dublin, oh, Dublin. And he's like, why don't you go fuck yourself?
Eric, what do you think
of that? That's for you,
well,
Eric.
Well, I'm not a native of Dublin. It is not my city of birth. So say what you like about it, because a lot of it is a shithole, to be honest.
But it is the capital of your people, isn't it?
It is the capital of what?
Your people.
It is the capital of my people, yes.
Yes. So
it's where Bono is from.
Well,
and Enya lives here too. And
they that was for them, not for you, then, Eric.
Is there any good things there, Eric?
Spandau Ballet recorded their 1986 album Through the Barricades here.
Is there anything good there, Eric?
No.
No, okay. Well, I'm sure we'll be talking much more about your homeland soon. But Nathan, how are you doing?
Well, I'm preparing for the winter storm we're supposed to get here.
Oh, really? You've got winter storm coming? We haven't had a single flake of snow this year.
Do you miss it?
Yeah, it's quite nice to have, you know, wake up with a covering of white, isn't it, Eric?
Nathan,
which means like coconut.
Yes.
Nathan, I checked the death count from the killer storm bearing down upon us. Right now it is at zero, but it is ready to shoot right up.
Oh my God, damn you, snow!
Do you get snow much down in Tennessee?
About once a year, maybe.
So it's not when you. It's a bit like when we get snowstorms. You might get a couple of inches. Eric, Please. It's far too early in the morning to be...
Justin?
Yes.
I was listening to our boarding house episode where the rent won't kill you, but something else will. Mm. And I know, from number one, we all loved it, of course, like we should have. Mm. But in the beginning, you said that you had one cat that was pissing in yours and Stuart's shoes. Did you ever find out which one was doing it?
No, but one of the cats pissed in the bag, my rucksack, which I take to work. So that was particularly unpleasant. But now we know we've got to the bottom of it.
He pissed in your sack?
Oh, my sack, yes. It's a glamorous life I lead. So, we are going to over to Ireland for a ruddy good monster.
Scene two.
Well, maybe that as well. Who knows? The day's yet young. But we've also got Nathan's Algerian roundtable coming up. What are we going to be talking about, Nathan?
We are going to discuss any newer horror films or any upcoming ones that we are interested in seeing.
Okay, right. Well, before we get onto that, we'll talk about some of the things of interest we've been watching recently. So as your guest host, Johnny, do you want to take us away?
Well, recently I've watched, in the spirit of Valentine's Day, I've watched some of the, like, Lover's Lane, which for some reason I remember that being a lot better than it was. Have you all seen that, the one with Anna Faris?
Yeah, long time ago. Yeah, was it 1999, wasn't it? It was it's quite a low budget.
It's kind of very low budget.
it's kind of a bit more of a ripoff of I Know What You Did Last Summer, isn't it? With the killer looks a bit like the killer in that, doesn't he? I seem to remember. I haven't seen it for years. I've got the
He has like a poncho and like a hook, so it's pretty much the same.
Yeah.
But it was. I don't know, the IMDb said it was like 99 or 2000, but the way they dressed was like 95. Mm. But I'm pretty sure it was made a lot of time prior to when it was released. Mm. But man, it was so bad. The acting was stale in it. I remember liking it the first time. I don't know if I was drunk or what, but the second time was not very pleasant.
I imagine, Nathan, you quite enjoy it. Have you seen it recently? Yes.
Of course. I mean,
of course.
It's no Unhinged, but.
But then again, what is?
I also caught up with, I haven't seen it in a long time, but Valentine, the one with David Boreanaz. It's one of the movies that I feel I think it's really underrated just because it brings back a lot of the fun and stuff that a lot of the movies during that time were lacking. Mm. And even the women in it, like, who are all extremely bitchy and stuff, like, you still kind of get on board with their characters.
It's one I'd really like to revisit at some point, because I remember I've talked about it before, but I saw it at the cinema, and I think we're the only people there, and that was kind of the death knell of the new kind of post-Scream movie, really, wasn't it? It could basically gone out of fashion by that point, but also it's a film that got cut really heavily, didn't it?
I'd read it got cut because of 9/11. I didn't know that.
Oh, okay,
I knew it was cut up, but reading a lot of the notes, it was saying that because I guess it came out right after it. I guess it'd be like 4 months later, 5 months later.
Right. Curious. But it's another one. And what's that other one? Cherry Falls is another film that got cut to ribbons, isn't it? And we've never seen uncut versions of those, although I presume at that point when DVD and stuff was already out, wasn't it? So you would think they would have kept everything. So it'd be good if we actually get to see that one day, how it was meant to be seen.
Oh, that'd be really awesome. Mm.
I remember giving Valentine a bad review on your site, Justin, but it's a film that really grew on me. I like it a lot.
Cool. And okay.
The only other thing I've been watching is, or I watched for Cadaver Indies, I watched The Houses That October Build.
Okay.
Have any of you seen that?
No. But no. I heard it reviewed on Scream Queens. I remember Patrick. I can't remember exactly. I mean, I don't think he was that hot on it, but... Did you enjoy it?
I wasn't either.
No, okay.
Well, the movie has a lot of really good scares and some really creepy moments, but I would say like 90% of it is shot in the dark to where you can't see anything going on.
Right.
And the characters in it, I mean, they have about 6 big scary events that happen to them, you know, on every night leading up to Halloween. But for some reason, they never throw in the towel. They never call the cops or anything. They're just like, let's keep going with it. Mm-hmm. And you realize that nobody in that situation would go along with it.
That can be, once you've crossed that line, it can be quite difficult to claw it back, can't it? You kind of, you can suspend disbelief only so far, I find.
Well, I think whenever you're finding like human organs in your fridge, and then you're the girl that's with you is almost getting raped. I think that's time to to get other people involved.
Fair enough. So,
these people in this movie, they were pretty dumb.
Okay. Right. Well, thank you, Johnny. Anything else?
No, that's it, pretty much.
Okay. Right. Joseph, how about you?
I half watched My Bloody Valentine yesterday at work, but. And, you know, they've been keeping me busy, so that's it.
Okay, right, a busy boy. Nathan, how about you?
I watched Big Ass Spider.
Okay.
It's kind of like a sci-fi original movie, I'd say. I didn't love it as much as I wanted to because they were trying way too hard to be funny. Yeah. And I actually think that's one thing Eric doesn't like, isn't it, Eric? Horror comedies that try to be much more comedy.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Mm. It's just, yeah, they really went overboard with trying to be funny. And some of their jokes were, and some just fell flat. So overall, I kind of just give it a 5 out of 10. You know, have any of you seen it?
Yes. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I remember the opening, isn't it, with Pixies song, and it opens really well, and you think, oh, this is going to be really good, and then it's quite entertaining, but like you say, the comedy falls really flat. If the comedy was funny,
yes,
it would be really good, but it either went too far or didn't go far enough, but I think especially if I remember his kind of comic sidekick, was it the Mexican guy?
Yeah.
He just wasn't funny at all, was he? And he kept on making...
No.
He was the character, kept on making... quips which just didn't work, and it just kind of kept on, it felt really, it never quite got going in that way. But you seen it, Johnny?
I haven't seen it, but I know the director of Night of the Demons, Kevin Tenney. I know that he and his son have a small cameo in it.
Okay.
I guess it's like a scene where they're just running down the street from the spider,
right?
Oh.
I mean, it's okay. I mean, it was a fun movie, but this didn't work overall. But anyone else seen it?
Yeah, I liked it. Not, you know, probably like Nathan, I thought it was just okay. It's like a lower rent Tremors, which is a lot better.
Yeah, definitely. Tremors is much better because Tremors, to me, the comedy moments were actually kind of funny, and the movie wasn't played as a full on comedy.
I think I had read they're making a new Tremors movie.
Yeah, I heard that as well.
Oh, that'd be something I'd add to my Roundtable Algonquin.
Yes. It's the guy that played Bert, Michael Gross, and Jamie Kennedy from Scream.
Okay. Well, yeah. Could be fun.
Yeah,
I've never, ever seen a Tremors movie.
Justin, you should at least watch really the first fun. One.
Yeah, the first two are just... excellent. The second
first one is a clack 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 classic.
Yeah, the second one's direct to DVD, but it's better than it has any right to be.
Okay, no, it's just one that's slipped through the crack, as it were. I shall get round to that. But anything else?
I watched All Hallows Eve. Okay. It's an anthology that came out fairly recently.
Yeah.
I really, really liked it. I mean, yes, it's kind of nonsensical, but the parts in it that were scary were actually kind of scary. I mean, I like the wraparound, and the wraparound story is just kind of this babysitter and these two kids that have come in for trick-or-treating, and one of their bags is a videotape. So, you know, they kind of watch it, and it's all these... like crazy short stories on the tape, which is part of the anthology. And the first story starts out really scary at this like train station with this girl and this creepy clown. But it kind of goes way out there by the end. So the first story was just okay. The second story, again, it starts out really good. But once we realize what's menacing this woman at this house out in the country, I don't know, it wasn't scary to me. So, you know, that one kind of fell flat for me too. But the third one is really good. It's the same clown that's kind of been had little bit parts in the other stories. In the third one, he's menacing this girl who's out for a drive at night, you know, and is running out of gas. So the third story is actually really, really creepy. And there were actually a couple of jump scares that got me, too. So, you know, I mean, I really loved it. I thought that the guy did an excellent job on a low budget.
Has anyone else caught Oh, Hallows Eve?
Yeah. I haven't.
Nope.
I really liked it. Did you say you had, Eric?
No, I haven't.
No. Okay, because, the clown, the killer clown, the slasher clown is fantastic. Kind of Art the Clown. It's really, really creepy. I think these are all kind of short stories, weren't they? All short films that were kind of made apart by the same director, I think, and then brought together as an anthology, that which is why it's quite disjointed. But talking about films to look forward to, the director is actually making a feature length film with the clown called Terrifier.
And it's going to be the short story, right? It's going to be kind of an extension of the short story about the girl getting menaced.
Right. Yeah, it's called Terrifier.
Yes,
and it's coming out this year, supposedly. I don't know. There's not much info on IMDb, but that's the thing. But yeah, the clown is fantastic. It's really, really creepy, and it would make if he does it well, it will make a fantastic 90-minute movie.
He can build suspense really well, I think. Mm-hmm. I think he did a very good job at building all the suspenseful moments in the movie are fairly well done. So I'd be interested to see what he could do with the feature length story with the clown, because in the short stories, the clown is really scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a recommend if you if you like anthologies. It's hit or miss, but it's definitely worth your time, I think. So, thank you, Nathan. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay. Eric, how about you?
Well, yes, I watched Willow Creek this week, which is Bobcat Goldthwait's found footage movie about a couple going in search of Bigfoot into the woods. And I was kind of with it for a while. It's very much a slow burn, which is typical of found footage movies. And it seemed to be building towards something. But then around the 50-minute mark, I should say, there's just a scene of the couple in a tent listening to the noises going on outside the tent, which are supposed to spook them and their reactions. And it goes on for about 15 or 20 minutes, just this one static shot on these two people in a tent. And I got to a point where I thought I was watching a remake of Night of Horror, which is, of course, that famous movie of static shots looking at ghosts from the Civil War era in the USA, spouting nonsense. I was bored to tears by Willow Creek. And it doesn't redeem itself at the end. It does pick up slightly. But that tent scene in the middle, no, not for me. Not at all. Would never watch it again. I know some of you guys like it, but it wasn't for me.
It's kind of funny. I thought the tent scene was the best part of the movie.
Me
too.
And me.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. Eric, well, you're on your own.
You're on your own. I don't care. It's just business as usual then, isn't it? Well, I thought it was boring and stupid.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you, Roger Ebert.
That's my in-depth analysis. You're really harsh to me today. I'm ready. We're only about 5 minutes into it.
But actually, it's closer to 20. But anyway, Eric, anything
else? I watched Annabelle as well, which I was kind of looking forward to. I wasn't a huge fan of The Conjuring. This, of course, is the prequel about the cursed doll of the, you know, that goes under the name Annabelle. I find it very run-of-the-mill. Now, I don't know if it's because I wasn't paying that much attention to it. I kind of zoned out after a while because it wasn't really going anywhere. It would fall merely into the okay category for me. It's very much that cattle prod type cinema where it's the soundtrack drops to, you know, complete silence, and then something suddenly will happen. Annabelle will appear from somewhere, or a ghost will appear, or I don't know. Didn't do anything for me anyway. I know that from speaking to you guys during the week, Nathan is a big fan. It might benefit from another watch, perhaps, but as I said, it made my mind wander because it wasn't keeping my attention. And in fact, I watched a third movie, which I didn't expect to be better than Annabelle or Willow Creek, but turned out to be much better. And I know you've seen it as well, Justin, because you're the one who recommended it, so I'll leave you to talk about that. But Annabelle, did anyone agree with me on Annabelle? I know you all disagree with me on Willow Creek, so you probably all disagree with me on Annabelle.
I disagree with you.
I liked it. Yeah.
I liked it a lot.
So, oh, Eric. Well, I saw it at the cinema, and I thought it was. It is pretty run of the mill, but it's a kind of effective scare machine. And I thought it had a few standout scenes, like the scene in the lift, her going up and down the lift, coming down, going and opening up in the basement, and then running up the stairs and being chased by that demon. I thought was very well done, and I liked the opening.
The scene also where the doll just kind of like levitates, and then you see the demon behind it. That scene kind of got me.
And there's a really great prank video featuring the Annabelle doll. I don't know if any of you guys have seen it, but it's really funny.
With the maids.
Publicity.
Is that the one with the maids when they're in the house?
Yes, with the maids.
Yeah. But, Eric, you see. But anyway, if we all agreed on everything, then it would be very boring, wouldn't it?
It would.
Exactly. Well, you guys disagree with me almost all the time, so. Well,
exactly. And that's the
now I know how it feels to be Nathan.
You do.
That's true. Okay. Well, thank you, Eric. The film, surprisingly, that I really enjoyed as well, because I wasn't expecting very much from it at all, because I was pretty meh on the first one, was See No Evil 2. By the Soska sisters, who directed it, who directed, and there are films, I can't remember what the other films they've done now.
But American Mary, was it?
That's one, yes, one of those. And also Dead Hooker in a Trunk. I haven't seen that one, but a very kind of, American Mary is very quirky and odd, more like a Cronenberg movie, isn't it? Whereas See No Evil 2 is very much a kind of, very little actually left field in it. It's just a slasher movie, and it's a sequel, obviously, to the first one. It picks up on the same night as the events of the first movie, and you know it hasn't got an original thought in its head, because it picks up with I think it's was it Jacob Goodyear, the killer, in the morgue. And there's Danielle Harris is a morgue attendant, and it's her birthday, and her friends, including Catherine Isabel from Ginger Snaps movies, most famously, and also the Friday 13th. Which one was she in? Oh, Freddy versus Jason. Yeah, and she turns up, and they have a party, and then she strides the dead killer. In a kind of a strange kind of necrophiliac type way.
Sounds a little bit like the way Justin would have his birthday.
Oh, Eric, see how the tables turn. But, of course, the killer comes back to life and stalks them through the morgue corridors and kills them one by one. And that's pretty much it. So it's identical in a lot of ways to things like the original Halloween 2 and I guess the remake film like Cold Prey 2, although this is all set in probably the largest morgue in the world, because it seems to have endless corridors and no one else around at all, and in the middle of nowhere. But what it does, I mean, I thought, you know, it's a shame actually the killer, you know, it's what's the killer's name again? It's he's
Kane.
He's a kind of
Jacob Goodnight.
Yes. Well, he's a famous wrestler, isn't it? It's a WWF.
Yeah, it's Kane, I think, is his name of the wrestler.
He is not exactly the best actor in the world.
No.
He's better than some of the people in Rawhead Rex.
Yes, possibly. But I think it would have been better if they'd kept him more, of just kept a mask on him, because he's quite a formidable presence, but he can't. They try and get him to act in this, and it doesn't really work. So it would have been better just putting a big mask over his face and just getting to do what he does, which is killing teens. But I thought it was surprisingly good. I know some people were a bit iffy about the ending, which we can discuss. Well, not necessarily discuss the ending, but why they were a bit lukewarm about it. But Eric, you enjoyed it as well, didn't you?
I actually really enjoyed it, and I didn't realise it was a Soska sisters film until the end credits came up. And I was like, oh, it was a kind of a name director was behind it, because I thought it would be kind of a... you know, hack for hire type film. But it was, as you said, it didn't have an original thought in its head, but that was one of its trump cards for me. And also, it had a really likable cast. I mean, Danielle Harris is really likable in everything she does. Now, she's not in a lot of movies that I particularly like, but she comes across as she's a great, good actress, likable presence. You find yourself rooting for the, you know, the final girl, final boy in the film, is what I found anyway. And it's probably what Nathan found as well, I'd say.
Yes, I found, I mean, they did a very good job at making them likable and making you want to root for them. I agree.
But as Jason, that's the second time I've mixed your name up with Jason, Justin. As Justin was saying, the killer would have been better, I think, if he'd had a mask obscuring his face and had more of that sort of Jason or Freddy, or not Jason or Freddy, Jason or Michael Myers type presence. I think it would have been scarier. Having him speak and seeing his face lessens the impact, I thought. Because there are scenes where you see him in the distance and he has that sort of physique of Jason, and those were quite effective. But then when you see him sort of, you know, having his mummy flashbacks, it's less fun, I think.
Yeah, the only thing that I was curious, because I haven't seen the original for a few years, but didn't he spend the whole of the original pulling out people's eyeballs? And then he doesn't do it a single time in the sequel.
As far as I remember, it was hence the sort of pun in the title of the film. But yeah, I saw this at the cinema, actually. It was at the Horror Film Festival. So it would have been, 2006 it was out? Yeah.
It's quite a long time, long in gestation sequel. But because it follows on directly from that night, he doesn't pull out any eyeballs in the sequel, which kind of is a bit odd. But anyway, I thought it was good. What, Johnny and Joseph, have you seen See No Evil 2?
I haven't seen it yet.
Nope, not yet.
I'll have to check it out, though.
It's got great chase scenes. If you like, you know, the best bits of, well, the best bits, but the Halloween 2 and Cold Prey 2, of the chasing, you know, if you like chase scenes through long corridors, then it's your movie. It's got all of that. And
Catherine, fumbling for keys. There's lots of fumbling for keys.
And hiding from the killer and all these kind of things. It's, you know, it's got all of that. And I thought Catherine Isabel was really good in it. She was really, gave a really good performance. Somebody who was like really scared.
Was she the main actress in it, or was it Danielle Harris?
Danielle Harris is the main actress.
Yeah, she Catherine Isabel plays her best friend, and they basically come and have a party and drink and have sex in the morgue, which obviously, as we know, is a no-no in a slasher movie.
So Catherine Isabel and Danielle Harris have sex?
No. I think you probably would like that, wouldn't you, Joseph? But no, that doesn't happen. So, yeah, that's See No Evil 2. I've seen a few others, which I'll just rumble through. I caught up, finally, with the Maniac remake with Elijah Wood, which I thought was really, really good. And I was surprised how brutal and uncompromising it was. I just presumed it would pull its punches, because the first Maniac is still a film that I don't watch very often, because I find it, there's something about it that I find quite scuzzy, and which isn't a bad thing, but it's not a go-to feel good slasher movie, like I say.
Is it Joe Spinell that makes you feel scuzzy?
Well, he always does, doesn't he? But but I think it's also everything about it is there's something about it. But they kind of brought that into the remake, I thought, really well. So again, it's not a film that I would want to return to anytime soon. But I thought it was very, very well done. Elijah Wood, considering, you know, he's a kind of a pretty boy, and he's all that, you know, he actually did a really good job in this. You know, he couldn't be more different looking than Joe Spinell. But
I think that works for the film, though, because you'd understand why the girl would kind of be interested in him, because he's not a bad looking guy.
Yeah, but he's still a bad guy. And the problem I have with both versions of Maniac, is why is this woman interested in him? But having said that, I did enjoy the remake, and the standout for me is the soundtrack, which I think Joseph will probably agree on. So I got this great electro soundtrack.
Oh yeah, I still think the Maniac remake is one of the best movies I've seen in a while.
Really?
Yeah,
I agree. I agree with him.
I just, going into it, I didn't think they were the original, and I didn't think they were going to be able to put him into that role and make him menacing. But they did a pretty good job. like when he's killing that older lady, he's got her like bound in that on top of the bed. Like stuff like that was pretty hard to watch.
Mm. Yes. It's also especially, I think, because of the way they did the point of view for the killer, didn't they? So basically forcing the audience to be the eyes of the killer through pretty much the whole movie.
The behind-the-scenes stuff was really cool on the Blu-ray because they show how they did that. They had, like a stunt hand. They had Elijah Wood and then another guy. Like, one guy played the left and one guy played the right.
Mm.
And it was really cool how they did it because they had to do every scene in, like, complete unison.
Wow. Okay. But, yeah.
If like you've a not... pantomime horse.
Yes. So if you've not seen the Maniac remake, then it's... uncompromising and uncomfortable watch, but it's a very good film, surprisingly.
That's a great blurb for the poster. Uncompromising and what was the other word you said? I can't remember it.
Uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable. Yes. Justin Kurzweil.
Well, thank you. So,
and just like the poster for the original, you get to see Elijah Wood's bone in his pants.
Yes.
Oh, did they use that, the stiffy image, yeah?
Yeah. After he kills the woman by the car?
Yeah.
They, like, do a close-up on it. Like, when I saw it at Texas Frightmare, it had, like, a standing ovation. Everybody was pretty happy to see some rock hard man.
And was I the only one that when the Maniac remake was announced and Elijah Wood was announced as being the Maniac that I had major hesitations about it? But he ended up really surprising me in this film.
I had to eat my own words. I mean, when I did Kruger Nation, like I actually, when I first heard about it, I was like, "Oh, fuck this movie!" And after I saw it, I was like, "Man, I take that back. That was pretty awesome."
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, well, he because he's quite the fan, isn't he? Supposedly of slasher movies, horror movies, Elijah Wood. Apparently he's a big fan. Mm. See if we can get him on the podcast. Yeah. So,
oh yes, please.
He's versatile as well.
Well, that's what Nathan would like to hear. So, let's... okay, well, I've got a couple of others, and unfortunately, they've got the two better ones out the way. I saw the Eric Banner sort of...
You saw my banner?
You saw your banner, yes.
Eric is brilliant. Yeah, I Eric know. I put, it up, in Bristol the other day.
No, the film Deliver Us From Evil, which is supposedly, inverted commas, air quotes, a true story or based on a true story. But it's got Eric Banner as a hardened, grisly New York cop who gets sucked into a kind of a vortex of devil worshipping from these three soldiers in Iraq, bring something back with them after stumbling into a tomb. And there's basically ritual murders and various things going on. And Eric Banner plays the atheist cop who's tried to is increasingly convinced that it's actually something supernatural going on by this Jewish priest. And I thought it was a big pile of crap, to be honest. It was it's okay, but the central message for me didn't work, which was like basically all this bollocks is actually true, and so. Apparently in real life now the cop now works with this Jesuit priest going out fighting devil worship, which I find difficult to believe. So has anyone else seen it?
Yeah, I saw it a few months ago and I can't remember much about it apart from the fact that I was bored, very bored.
Mm. It was very boring.
That was a ringing endorsement, by the way. It's a pile of crap. Well, it's okay.
Schizophrenic, now, like, Justin.
When I saw it, I felt like it was they just didn't pull any punches. They basically, it was like a paint-by-numbers movie, and there was nothing new brought to the table. I thought there'd be like a twist or something, but it was like pretty straightforward, so that kind of bored me.
Well, they didn't even explain what had happened to the soldiers and why they become possessed. They, you know, it was very lazy. It was just by the numbers, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I just found the whole central premise of basically it was a kind of, you know, for all intents and purposes, a kind of Christian horror movie, which, you know, I had problems with. So anyway, that was that. And the other film I saw, the last one I mentioned briefly, was another film that underwhelmed me greatly, was After from 2012. By a director called Ryan Smith, and it's got quite an intriguing premise of this couple who, well, not couple, but this man and this woman are on a bus traveling home at night, and they're the only ones on there on this kind of long distance bus, and they get chatting, and then there's a crash, and then they she wakes up in her bed at home, and then goes to work, and there's nobody at work, and then she goes round town, there's no, the whole place is completely deserted. And then she eventually finds this guy that was also on the bus, and they go off to try and find out why they are the only ones left alive in town. And it's quite an intriguing premise, and it doesn't actually do what I thought it would do from that premise. It does something slightly differently, but it actually, although it promotes itself as a horror movie, it's actually a fantasy movie rather than a horror movie, and it was unfortunately quite underwhelming. So has anyone seen that?
It sounds a lot like an episode of Twilight Zone.
It sounds really good, I think, from that premise.
Yeah, I like the premise a lot. Mm-hmm.
The premise is good. The premise is good. It's maybe worth a watch. I don't know. Unless it
turns out to be like the end of about 15 million movies from the turn of the millennium where it turns out they're dead.
Well, I can say that they're not dead.
Okay.
So that was the thing. That was the one good thing they had going for it. But it's quite schmaltzy as well. It's almost like a Spielberg film, but done with somebody with not as much talent as Spielberg. And so there's lots of kind of schmaltzy flashbacks to grandma and things like that. So it's more of a fantasy film than a horror film by a long shot. But it's, you know, it might be worth a watch if you go into it. We're keeping that in mind rather than thinking you're going to be watching a horror movie. Then you might enjoy it a bit more.
Would you say it's crap, but it's okay?
Yes, it's that. That's the poster.
that's good enough for me. I'll check it out.
Okay, right. Well, that's recently seen, so I think it was time to go for the Albuquerque round table. So, Nathan, what are you talking about?
I was going to say the Al Jazeera roundtable.
Oh, God.
That's going to become a running thing, like you guys have a different word every time.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is about, you know, any upcoming horror films you're looking forward to seeing, you know, because, you know, I got to the point where I would just flip through, you know, Vudu or something, which is kind of a pay movie service over here streaming online, and just go through and see what new horror films are out, because I don't keep up with it as much as I probably should. So I decided to do a little research and see what movies are coming out that I really want to see. Now, the first one for me is The Green Inferno. I'm really annoyed that this movie's taking forever to get released, and it was supposed to have been released like 6 months ago. And you guys all know that one, right?
Do we know why it didn't get a theatrical release?
I thought it was something to do with the company, as in like just a legal battle or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it was just a legal kind of a rights issue, apparently.
I thought seeing like a cannibal like exploitation movie would be so awesome on a big screen.
Oh yeah, that was the main reason why I wanted to see it so bad.
Me too. You know, so disappointed that
just on the big screen,
probably go straight to video too.
His other movie he's producing is coming out this year too, Clown. I think really soon.
What's that one about?
It's supposed to be a guy who the clown for his son's birthday party cancels. So the dad dresses up, and he becomes like a killer, maniacal clown. But I think that it was supposed to get a theatrical release, and I just read the other day, I think it's getting like a direct-to-DVD March release.
All right.
Oh, I'm excited. I forgot about that movie. So I'm looking forward to seeing it, too.
Well, and I think because Duncan McLeish from Podcast Under the Stairs was talking about it, and I want to say that he said that it's coming out in the UK in March, but I don't know when the US releases.
Yeah, on DVD, apparently. It's coming out on the 2nd of March over here.
Okay.
Well, have you guys heard of his other film coming out called Knock Knock with Keanu Reeves? It sounds to me like this is at least a loose remake of Death Game from the 70s with Colleen Camp and Sandra Locke. Have you guys seen that, where the two girls come in and seduce this guy, and it turns out they're completely insane?
That movie's awesome, yeah.
Yeah, I love that movie.
I've not seen that one, but...
No, neither have I.
Is that something he directed, or is it something that he's, producing?
I thought that he was directing it.
Yeah, he has directed it, yeah.
It'll be cool to see Keanu Reeves kind of, because he's been lately trying to get into different roles, you know, with like John Wick, he's doing the revenge kind of movie, and it'd be cool to see him in horror.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be an interesting film, especially if it goes the route of Death Game, because Death Game is so much fun. It's really out there, and the ending is fantastic, which I actually think Justin, out of all of us, would get some sense of satisfaction from the ending to Death Game.
Okay.
And I'll leave it at that.
All right, so I shall put that on my list of things to watch. Is it on
I'm going to spoil it for you. Susie Sue pops up at the end.
Yes, damn.
It turns out the guy was her the whole time.
Yep.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
I actually love Susie Sue. It seemed opportune.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get lots of chances to talk about Toya when we get around to Rawhead Rex.
Oh, will we? Oh, will we?
Okay. Well, Nathan, was anyone else want to chime in with...
Yeah, well, I was having this chat with Meep actually offline a few weeks back about new horror films. Just there's few and far between that you get excited about. Now, the only one I can think of that I'm really looking forward to is, and you're probably going to laugh at me for this, is Prometheus 2, but that doesn't come out for another year. Now, I know Prometheus 1 had its problems, but I think the cliffhanger it left it on was really tasty, and I'm really looking forward to what they do with it.
Is Naomi Rapeface going to be in the sequel?
Is who?
Noomi Rapace. Like,
oh, there's
on Honest Trailers, they call her Naomi Rapeface.
Yes, Naomi Rapeface will be in the sequel.
Awesome.
Eric.
What?
How could you say that?
Who is that?
Johnny said it.
She's the original girl with the dragon tattoo.
Okay, I know who you're talking about.
The one who could actually act, not Rooney Mara.
Mm. Oh, well, I can't stand her.
I can't either. Her and her sister suck.
Yeah. You've never forgiven her. Awful. You've never forgiven her.
No, I haven't forgiven her, and I won't until she makes a public apology.
Mm. About what?
And the sad thing is, I don't even like that movie.
She didn't. She slagged off Blood Lake.
Yeah, Blood Lake. She had some harsh things to say about the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, and it's not just the movie in general. She was kind of making it sound like that movie was just so beneath her when she took it. You know, like she's just so much better than that. And that's how her whole interview came off. She came off very pompous and arrogant. Yeah. And I just don't respect actors that, you know, kind of slag off their older films. I'm like, you know, you did it. You know, just own it. I mean, I don't have any respect for somebody that does that kind of thing.
Usually it's beneath her when she takes it, but she definitely did that. Like, first of all, she's been in things before that and nothing major, but to me, it's always like she did all these really terrible movies. And then all of a sudden she gets these like kind of, I don't know what you call them, like another bigger budget, but maybe more like mainstream movies. I mean, Elm Street is pretty mainstream. Mm. But she gets those, and all of a sudden she just completely blasts everything she's done.
Yeah, and I think what sucks, though, is that, you know, in the interview, I think she says something like, I didn't even want to take the part, but I did anyway. And, you know, I'm thinking, how many actresses out there would have killed to have gotten, you know, that role? And then she gets it and doesn't even really appreciate it.
No, I mean, she was basically a bad Kristen Stewart, which is saying something.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Oh, and speaking of which, I do have to say I showed Wes Panic Room, and Wes said, oh, man, what is that, her son? And then Eric said the exact same thing.
Yeah. Well, see, when those trailers came out, of course, Kristen Stewart wasn't known. And I was like, I was really confused as to whether it was a boy or a girl in Panic Room.
You know that like, movie? From
watching the trailers, I mean.
It's so distracting, Panic Room, because like if you're not distracted by Jared Leto's like really bad cornrows, then you're completely taken out of it by Forrest Whitaker's fucking eye. Like, it just draws me out of the movie.
Yeah, he's got that lazy eye that looks like downward to the left.
And then, freaking Dwight Yoakam in the movie looks like the axe guy from Last Action Hero.
I thought that Dwight Yoakam should have kept his mask on because he was a lot more creepier with it on. When he took it off, he wasn't quite as scary, I'd say.
That whole crew in that movie, those three guys are just like... They're hard to look at.
Yes, I would agree with that. I mean, I like the movie. I'll say that. I like the movie. And I actually remarked to Wes that, you know, what happened to Kristen Stewart? She's actually showing some emotion in this film. You know, something happened.
Because she got to play off Jodie Foster, though, and she's a good actress. True.
Yeah. That's
because when you look at, like, Twilight, I mean, there's not a whole lot to work with there. She's working with CGI werewolves and like, sparkling, I don't know, emaciated dudes.
The CGI werewolf, probably a better actor than the lead guy. Well, I don't remember his name.
Robert Pattinson?
What's the other lead guy who looks like his face has been smashed in with a hammer?
Taylor Lautner or
that's
something?
That's him.
He's the one that everybody says looks like a llama, right?
He does.
I think so, yeah. But the girls like him. The girls.
I think they like his body. I don't think they like his llama face.
Llama.
Come on, join in the slagging match, Justin. Come on.
Hey, so I'll just let Argento in. See if he can behave himself.
Okay. I'm surprised nobody mentioned Final Girl.
Oh, were we talking about that last week, were we?
What, the TV series with Jamie Lee Curtis, or is that Scream Queens?
I didn't know it was a TV series.
Yeah, it's a TV series called Scream Queens and Jamie Lee Curtis. I'm not sure if she's in it or if she's just producing, but she's something to do with it. I'm not sure what the plot is of it yet.
No, she's
in
it.
I hear the cat purring.
I hear a cat.
Yeah. That's Argento. I think Jamie Lee is actually starring in the TV series. But, I'm not sure. Final Girl. Wasn't that shot a while ago?
I believe so. It's the one with Emma Roberts, right?
I'm not really sure. Like, I'm not really sure how long it's going to take me to watch this Scream Queen series, because I think it's going to be on Fox, so it'll probably be all cut to ribbons and just kind of tame for TV series. So please, no one nag me to see it.
If it's on Fox, they'll switch its date and time like every week, and it'll get canceled within a month. That's what usually happens to shows on Fox.
Have you seen the teaser trailer for it? It's just come out, which is a woman with blonde hair, like a typical kind of, you know, sort of slash movie kind of airhead, kind of a Morgan from House of Sorority Row, chewing bubble gum and blowing a massive, great big pink bubble, and a knife comes in, stabs it, and it bursts, loads of blood goes everywhere.
Oh,
so that's the teaser trailer that I saw the other day. So that's doing the rounds. But other films that we're looking forward to.
New Halloween?
Well, yes.
Is it going to be this year?
Saw guys.
Is that what they're calling it? They're calling it a recalibration, isn't it? A recalibration of Halloween.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? It's like
it can't get much worse than Rob Zombies. I mean, surely. No. Unless it's Michael putting people in traps.
As bad as the Saw films became, you know, after part one or two, I'd say they're still better than anything, you know, Rob Zombie's ever done.
Agreed, yeah.
Well, and this is by the guys who did a lot of the later Saw movies, too. It's not even like the original crew.
No. So it's a shame, actually, the people, I think it was the directors, the French directors who did Strawberry Switchblade, they were going to do... to do this, weren't they, at one point, and they, it didn't come off. But it'll be good. I just don't know what they mean by a recalibration. If it's not a continuation of the zombie films, then that's good. But they seem to be doing this more and more, don't they? They said, like, I don't really watch the Spider-Man films, but they said the next Spider-Man film is going to take him back to high school, which means they're going to be restarting it again.
Yeah, so, for the fourth time.
God damn. It's like, how many times are they going to make that movie?
Yeah.
I just hope the new Halloween brings back the mask and not sort of the half a mask with his face showing through for most of it.
Mm. Oh, yeah. He looks like a big deranged hobo.
Yeah.
Mm. Are any of you looking forward to, and I'm kind of split on it because I love the directors and the writers, but the sequel to the prequel to Texas Chainsaw Leatherface, the guys who did, Inside?
Mm. Oh.
Yeah, I am interested.
It's like following him as a child, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of confused. I don't know how disturbing or like scary it can be, because in the poster and the short little trailer, it's like a little kid.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah, no.
And they're calling it Leatherface, too, which is confusing since the third movie was Leatherface.
Yeah. It's a prequel to Texas Chainsaw 3D, is it?
No, yeah. So it's a prequel to the prequel. It's a prequel to the prequel that was a direct sequel to the original.
Hmm. I'll see any Texas Chainsaw movie, so.
Well, that's
do your thing, Kez.
Oh, God. I tried to rewatch that one again recently, and to me, what I've learned is it's the kind of movie, if I could just watch the first hour and just cut it off before she gets to the police station, then I love it. So that's what I got to do.
It's actually like a lot of the brutal violence and stuff.
Yeah, when it's full on a slasher movie. When it tries to become something else. Yeah, they did a really good job at recreating the house and, you know, the whole set, I guess, of the original.
Good stuff. The other, of course, I mean, Nightmare on Elm Street seems to be dead in the water at the moment, unsurprisingly, after that remake. But Friday the 13th has been greenlit, isn't it? That's moving ahead.
Is that 2016 now?
I think so. Yeah, I don't know if there's much news about it, but I think it's definitely happening, isn't it?
Yeah, I think like Nathan, I'll probably go see any Friday the 13th movie, no matter how many times I'm disappointed. Too. No matter how many times I've seen a disappointing sequel or a crap remake, I'll probably still keep going.
Yeah, it's like, you know, a bug being drawn to a bug zapper.
Exactly.
And we always end up getting zapped because the movies usually are bad.
Yes.
Michael Bay and Platinum Dunes collects all the bug parts.
One thing I'm looking forward to, which is not a movie, but it's a TV series, is the Ash versus Evil Dead coming out.
Oh, yeah.
I would like to see what they do with that.
Is it filming yet?
Yeah, it's in production. It's on a cable channel, so, you know, it won't be censored or kind of tame. They'll get to go full on with all the violence and blood that, you know, the first two at least were kind of known for. That's what they said. They're trying to go for more of the tone of the first two and not Army of Darkness. So, you know, that kind of, you know, relieved me a little bit because, you know, I watched Army of Darkness recently and boy, I'd probably get hung for this, but I don't think that film's held up that well at all.
I didn't like it. I didn't either. It's just the setting and the heavy emphasis on comedy. It was just too much of a switch from the original Evil Dead.
I still like it, you know, and I love Bruce Campbell in the role, but I love the first two, especially, you know, number two, where it's kind of in the middle between serious and full on comedy. It's got like that right mix. But third, it's just as much as I love something like, say, the Three Stooges or something. I think that kind of humor just doesn't really work in that kind of world, as it were, I guess.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, is there anything else before we get to the main feature?
Before we move on, I just wanted to say how many of you are looking forward to Rob Zombie's new film, 31?
I am, actually.
Johnny.
I mean, I like Rob Zombie. I mean, I'm not a big fan of his Halloween movies, but I do like all of his other movies.
I do like Devil's Rejects.
And this will be the last time. This will be the last time Johnny is invited on the show.
Yeah, and Nathan.
All I said was I like Devil's Rejects.
Devil's Rejects is fucking awful.
No, that's actually a decent one. That's his one decent movie, in my opinion.
And I like his direction in House of a Thousand Corpses. I just think it's way too disjointed to try to follow the movie itself. But I like a lot of the direction in the film, so I'll give it that.
Direction's good. I just think he's a lousy writer, personally.
I feel the same way about what's his name? The guy who did is gonna kill me now. Damn, I can't think of the movie.
Steven Spielberg.
That's a good title for a movie. It's gonna kill me now.
Lay to Rest.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like, he's a great special effects guy, and he can. And he's a fairly decent director, but his writing is just ass. A movie I'm looking forward to this year is actually, I mean, I consider it to be kind of in the horror genre. It reminds me a lot of Beetlejuice from the trailer. It's called Suburban Gothic.
Okay.
Have any of you guys seen that trailer?
I haven't heard of it.
No, not at
all. It looks really funny. It's like an R-rated looking Beetlejuice where basically this guy can, like, he can start communicating with the dead and stuff, but it's a lot of that, like, wacky Beetlejuice type stuff. And it looks really cool.
Cool. Okay.
I wonder if they're ever going to do anything with the long proposed Beetlejuice sequel.
Oh, it's in development right now because the guy, Grant Graham Smith, the guy who wrote like the horror movie survival book. He actually wrote it, and I know Winona Ryder and Michael Keaton signed on.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Keaton, he's kind of like, a hot commodity again with all the, he's nominated for an Oscar and all this stuff. So that's probably why they're probably wanting to get him back now since he's kind of a big thing again.
Hmm. And that was the one role that he said he would always do again.
Cool.
God damn, I love Beetlejuice.
It's so good.
Well, should we bring this conversation to a close so we can go hop on a plane?
I just want to say that was a pretty good Al B. Shore roundtable discussion.
It was.
Yes, so, I agree.
Okay, Al B. Shore.
Well, next time, Nathan, you have to think of something extra special for our next show, for the next anal table. But in the meantime,
Skype,
here we go, tempting fate. But we're off to Ireland now to be with Eric's people in that trailer park. And here is the trailer for Rawhead Rex.
What I saw wasn't human.
Oh my God!
It was very tall. And what's more, it saw me, this thing.
So I hear myself in the middle of
it. I heard him.
I did too.
From acclaimed horror writer Clive Barker's Books of Blood comes a tale of devastating fright, Rawhead Rex. Rawhead Rex is a demon, alive for millennia, trapped in the depths of hell and waiting for release. He is held by an ancient seal, imprisoned for centuries in a barren field near the hamlet of Rathmore Island, Ireland. In time, this gruesome legacy has been forgotten, dismissed as an odd pre-Christian myth until Tom Garen decides to plow the field his ancestors knew better than to disturb. Plow the field. Yeah. The seal is broken, and an unspeakable evil is unleashed on a rampage of blood and lust. Howard Hollenbeck, an American historian on a working vacation in Ireland, discovers on the stained glass windows of the local church the series of scenes illustrating the reign of terror of Rawhead Rex. But the one piece of glass depicting the defeat of the monster is missing. Howard is desperate for an answer, for Rawhead Rex is loose, and he is insatiable. Okay, so I know a lot of you are wondering why I picked this, considering...
Why did you pick this?
Yes. Why? Well, after 30-ish episodes, I have to pick some kind of questionable... some kind of movie with very tenuous links to slasher films. And I think Rawhead Rex has more than its fair share. It's basically, he is a big, tall monster, but it's basically just a guy in a rubber mask going around killing random people, a la Friday the 13th, Part 5. I especially like the Trailer Park Massacre with Rawhead Rex. Basically just... rather than killing people, he does kill a few people, but he spends more time kind of throwing his arms around like a big dumb gorilla and kind of like roaring, which is humorous. But basically, that's why I picked it, because, he may be a monster, but he does going around killing people one by one. There is the whole kind of the backstory of how he came to be and what you must do to stop him and all that good stuff. But I think this is a very, very, well, it's kind of bad, but it's a very entertaining film. For one, like Rawhead Rex from a distance, the makeup effects are fairly convincing, but what they do is they spend a little too much time, in close-up of Rawhead Rex, and it kind of diminishes his power, as it were. This kind of 9-foot-tall guy is basically just a 9 foot tall guy in a rubber mask, which looks really cheap. So there's some humor there, but I don't know. I kind of wish they'd left him more in the shadows. It would have been a lot scarier. But for its part, you know, there's some fairly effective moments of, you know, kind of terror, I guess you'd say, is that one is when the farmer goes looking in his barn because he hears a noise and he sees that the door's been kind of, you know, ripped off its hinges or the lock on the door. And then Rawhead Rex kind of chases him down and he runs down these long kind of, you know, rock steps, and then Rawhead Rex just jumps down. And the shot, the way they shot this scene is like kind of jarring and sudden. I found that kind of creepy, kind of terrifying, actually. And then the standout scene, which is, you know, kind of taboo for a lot of horror films, is the moment when Howard Hollenbeck, played by David Duke, yeah, he recently passed away about five or ten years ago, is when they stopped the car after leaving that small town in Ireland to go to Dublin. He stops the car, and this is a big spoiler, so his daughter can kind of use the bathroom behind a bush, and then they're off in the distance, and he looks at his car, and his son's in the car reading a comic book, and then Rawhead Rex basically just kills the kid right in front of him, which is pretty startling. I thought the kid deserved it because he was a little kind of a peckerhead, but still it's pretty startling little moment in the film. I don't know. This is just one of those kind of Friday the 13th part five, you know, so bad it's good, you know, throw everything but the kitchen sink and see what sticks kind of, you know, fun romp through the forest of Ireland. And it gets really silly with a kind of I guess a pre-CGI light effects, you know, killing Rawhead Rex with the pussy. He gets it out of the church, the altar of the church. It's like basically Rawhead Rex is just a giant dick afraid of pussy. That's what it boils down to, because it has to be a woman who can stop him. I think that's what Clive Barker was going for in the original Books of Blood, and I'm not sure if it was translated well on screen, but, you know, that's basically what I've gotten out of it. But no, overall, it's just kind of a wildly, you know, kind of a fun, you know, monster on the loose romp with, you know, tenuous links to slasher films. So I've always loved it. You know, as bad as it can get, it gets good at parts, but it's a little uneven, but still it's never boring. It's a lot of fun, but yeah, I'm sure I have a lot more to say about it, but we'll go with Johnny as our guest. What did you think about it?
This movie to me is what Troll 2 would be if Clive Barker wrote it. Like, it has a lot of that same feel to it. The acting is immensely better, but you were talking, I just want to go quickly to the whole vagina versus you know, the monster thing. Did any of you at the beginning of this movie think that whenever they resurrect the monster from Bonehenge that it looked just like a giant cock?
Yeah. Oh yes.
The whole time I'm like, that's a shaft.
That was actually a model of my cock.
Made to size.
Yep. Life size. Yeah.
But no, this movie, I mean, it is so bad it's good, but at times it's so slow it's bad that I kind of was taken out of it a little bit. I'd seen it before, but I was really young because I only remembered certain scenes, like the one where the girl's going to the bathroom and the monster attacks her brother. But this movie, I mean, definitely has a lot of stuff going for it. Like, the trailer park attack is awesome, especially when Rawhead Rex is ripping people out of the flipped over Winnebago. And, you know, because, of course, a shirt comes off in that scene. And
don't you see there, Johnny?
Yes. Say your line.
but that was some of the stuff that takes you out of the movie, much like Troll 2, is all the close-ups on the monster's face, like you said. I will give them this. They did have some animatronics in the mask, so it did give it a little bit of life, but it just looked too, like, rubbery and stuff. But overall, I mean, the movie, it is pretty enjoyable. I mean, did any of you guys catch that the Virgin Priest, the one that was batshit crazy? His name was Declan O'Brien.
Which yeah.
The whole time I was thinking Wrong Turn 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah.
I didn't realize. I guess it's a pretty common name. But
what's the connection with Wrong Turn 3, 4, and 5?
That was the writer and director, Declan O'Brien.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Just the same name, not the same guy. Yeah.
It would be a very common name in Ireland. So,
but yeah, I mean, as far as the movie goes, it was kind of nice to revisit it, because even though I'd known I'd seen it in the past, I didn't realize it was the same movie. So I don't know. I mean, I would give it probably a mild recommend, unless you're pretty diehard and you like stuff that you can riff on and stuff. Because this movie leaves a lot of room to riff on it. I don't think it's as good as Friday the 13th Part 5, though.
No, it's not that good, but it just reminds me of that with the random people showing up just to get killed by this 9-foot-tall guy in a mask. But
oh yeah, for sure.
Let's see, Justin.
Again, I hadn't seen this film for a long time. I'd read the Books of Blood, the short story in there, and you know, there's a Susie connection to this.
Oh, do tell.
On their 1988 Peep Show album, there's a song called Raw Heads and Bloody Bones, which is kind of inspired in part by the short story, probably not the film. I was surprised actually how much I enjoyed it. I mean, I saw it. I can definitely see where Joseph is coming from, because the scene with the couple in the woods is pure Friday the 13th. You know, I can really see why you would link it to Part 5. Definitely see that. It kind of also reminded me of a film like Trog, the Joan Crawford killer Neanderthal movie, where you have basically it's the same story in some way. Well, not quite the same story, but you've got this prehistoric kind of monster on the rampage throughout a village. As a monster movie, I thought it was very well done. The scene in the trailer park, I think it was quite exciting actually. Some of the bits were what lets it down, and I think what we'll say in behind the scenes stuff is the mask. If it had been a better mask, it would have been it would have worked much better. But it just looked like a very tall man with a very big sort of monster mask on. But at times there was quite a threatening presence when he suddenly lunged. It's unlike Jason, who would like walk very fast or walk after somebody or jog. But Rawhead Rex had a real. There was a real just by the sheer size of the monster, it's quite a power to it. I also liked the kind of batshit crazy stuff in the church with Rawhead pissing on the rector, was it, or whatever he was, and his
the over verger.
The top verger, that's right, yeah. And his over the top performance, it was, you know, that was all, you know, good fun. I think it was kind of let down a little bit by the kind of the paucity of budget. I mean, at the beginning when that really awful effect shot of the sky turning black and rushing, of like a real, it just, you know, it was very sort of fakely done, but it was good fun. I'd forgotten how good it was, as in fun movie. I think it's a good movie, and it's probably not a particularly good adaptation of the original short story, but on its own, it's an entertaining romp. And there aren't many, maybe Eric can correct us on this, but there's not a huge heritage of horror in Irish films.
No, there's not.
So it's a nice novelty, and a snapshot of mid-80s Ireland and Eric's folk.
I'm not sure about that, but we don't live in trailer parks, okay? I live in a sleek, luxurious apartment.
Nathan.
Oh, I love Rawhead Rex. You know, I've always been a pretty big fan of it. I mean, I kind of think it's just entertaining throughout. I love the chase scene in the woods. Big fan of that scene. One thing I've always remarked about this film is I love the music, especially the music at the very end when Rawhead Rex is in the cemetery. I love the music that starts the end credits. I think it's actually really creepy. I kind of agree with you guys, you know, Rawhead Rex, the mask is very distracting. I think the movie would have done well to keep him in the shadows a lot more. But I love all his attack scenes when he's attacking people. The trailer park scene is great. The killing of the the little kid was very unexpected the first time I watched it. Hey, good morning, Axel. the killing of the kid was really shocking to me because I remember the first time I watched it, you know, at first they kind of make you wonder if the little girl's going to get attacked. And I kept thinking, oh, the kids are safe, you know, whatever. And then suddenly, you know, the little boy gets killed. And, you know, it's a very surprising scene because I kept expecting somehow the little kid was going to get away or something would happen. But no, nothing like that happened. I love the foul-mouthed priest. I mean, it's sort of like Joseph said. This movie just kind of throws everything at you. Now, what was the deal with the pregnant woman, though? I mean, I can't remember if it gets mentioned or not.
It's kind of like left to the wayside. But I think in the original story, basically Rawhead Rex is obviously he's afraid of basically women in general. And then like something like fertility in women is seen as more of a threat. So I think that's what they were going for.
Yeah, but, sorry, I read the short story this week, and in the short story, that character is not pregnant. She's actually on the blob, so that's why he doesn't kill her.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. She does have a daughter in it, though, and Rawhead Rex eats her.
Oh, jeez. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say off of Eric what Eric said. You notice, I think Rawhead Rex kills more men in this film than he does women.
Mm.
Yeah,
he does. Yeah,
yeah, definitely. So I guess the last thing I wanted to say is, as far as after the end credits, do you guys think that Rawhead Rex killed that little boy in the cemetery?
I would assume so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, poor kid.
I hope so.
How dare you?
You pig! You're a bloody pig!
Yeah, that kid was a little cock.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, for you guys, it was a happy ending.
Yeah, he had a fantastic tracksuit top and mullet combo, though.
Yeah. Ryan Rex has a mullet.
I love it. Great, great movie. A lot of fun.
Okay, and last but not least, our own Rawhead Rex from Ireland, Eric.
Okay, well, I'm going to read a little extract for you first. He stepped closer and saw that the giant had directed a glistening rope of its urine into his upturned face. It splashed into a slackly opened mouth. It ran over his torso. The gleam of joy didn't leave his eyes for a moment as he received this baptism. Indeed, he turned his head from side to side in his eagerness to be totally defiled. And that's from Justin's diary, which I found online.
Oh, Eric.
Yeah, actually, surprisingly, for a film that was shot...
You whore!
For a film that was shot in Ireland in the mid-80s and is a monster movie and is a bona fide sort of, you know, trashy monster movie, I actually never got around to seeing Rawhead Rex until about 6 months ago. I have to say I do enjoy it. As Justin said, it's not a good movie, but that doesn't mean it's not an entertaining movie. Part of its appeal, of course, from my perspective, is that it was made in my homeland. Actually, it's not filmed too far away from where I've been living for the last 8 years. You know, it's
in a trailer park.
Sorry?
In a trailer park.
You're going to laugh at me now when I say this, but the apartment complex that I now live in was once a trailer park.
Oh.
If you look on old maps of Dublin.
So is it now.
Park.
What?
Sorry?
Is it now kind of lots of trailers, but on top of each other?
Yes, that's exactly it, Justin.
Okay.
Yeah. And we all eat cabbage and potatoes.
Have you got a leprechaun?
Yeah, and we have sex every night.
Okay.
Eric, I just have to ask. The guy playing Rawhead Rex is rather large. Would you go for him?
No, because he's boss-eyed. That's one of the problems, as you say, with the makeup. When it zooms in on the makeup, not only is the makeup a bit bad, but he also looks a bit boss-eyed and a bit silly, like he's out of a comedy. But, I mean, that's part of the dated charm of these mid-80s, you know, prosthetic makeup movies. Mm. You know, you have this, you know, even something that was considered high-tech back in the day, like, you know, the girl who was with the big hair who was turned into a cockroach in Nightmare on Elm Street 4. Now, ooh, that would look kind of shoddy now. But the other thing that I find quite fun about Rawhead Rex is the acting, as I was saying. You know, the kid with the mullet and the tracksuit top. The pig, the bloody pig. if you want an indication of what I was like as a child, look no further than him. Because, you know, as ashamed as I am.
As a child?
he's a tad Inga.
Mm. Yeah. Yes.
I do like the golden shower moment in it as well. I'm sure Justin does too. Mm-hmm. Hugh O'Connor is actually the kid who gets eaten in the car. He's had quite a successful career as an actor, but I think he's bloody awful in this. I mean, he's not helped by the fact that he has to put on an American accent.
That's one of the worst American accents, isn't it?
I know, so... It was good to see him go. I also like the fact that his sister is called Minty. Has anyone ever met anyone called Minty?
No.
It's very odd. Ronan Wilcott as Declan O'Brien, as he said, is wonderfully over the top, almost hilarious. And he's the polar opposite to Kelly Piper, who I think is reaching Ronnie Blakely levels of acting talent.
Oh, God, I'm glad you mentioned that, because every time she, like, to start, I thought David Duke was, like, really good in this film. He was really credible, but the woman who played his wife, every time she opened her mouth, I just wanted to, like, die. It's like, yes. she has this thing where she's trying to be sexy. She's like, you're like, shut the hell up.
Hey, let's go ahead and clarify that David Duke's not the KKK guy.
Yeah, it's a different David Duke.
Oh, I didn't even know there was another David Duke. Sorry.
Yeah, he got lucky and died.
Famous here.
Yeah. There is not a lot going on plot-wise with Rawhead Rex. You can totally see that it's been adapted from a short story. The short story is short for a reason. But I do think they do a really good job of keeping you entertained and, you know, there's always something happening on screen, even if it is ludicrous, like pissing on a verger and things so forth. Is it a slasher movie? Oh, well, I mean, yeah. If we're putting
no,
hang on, you're the one who chose this.
The misconception is that you think I'm picking these movies because I think they're slashers. I'm only picking them because they have so many like links to slasher films.
Well, it's a film that's very close to Predator. I mean, Rawhead Rex isn't a million miles away from Predator in terms of the look of the character, except that maybe a couple of more million pounds went into the mask in Predator. But it's kind of the same type of creature in both films, so I suppose we can get away with it. Anyone notice the fact that the end of the film Rawhead Rex ends in the same type of way as Hellraiser, with lots of flash of sort of cheap flashing bolts of blue lightning and flashing lights?
Yeah, I mentioned that in my little opening.
And yeah, overall, I would say an entertaining movie. Please don't take it as a look into what life is like in Ireland, because it's not. Although, you know, I'm always complaining about Hollywood movies coming over here and casting American actors who put on awful Irish accents. But in this instance, all the Irish accents are actually authentic, but it still makes me cringe.
So you're saying there's no Rawhead in Ireland?
There is no.
Eric, you don't have a Rawhead?
I probably will later on today when I'm tugging at myself thinking about you, Joseph.
Thinking about Bonehenge.
Yeah.
Just take a piece and stick it in a hole. Now I'm sure you can do that, can't you?
Well, one thing I was wondering about is, Howard, David Duke's character, goes to, you know, basically destroy Rawhead Rex at the cemetery, and he gets that, basically that cunt from the altar. But how does his wife know where he was going? I mean, he just says, stay here, and then she just shows up and magically knows to pick up this piece of, this cunt. Stone to kill Rawhead Rex
I think the stone is actually called a Sheila na Gig. In the short story, she doesn't appear at the end. In fact, she's very much in the background. It's actually Howard who lifts the cunt over his head and gets rid of the evil.
It's the first time in the movie, though, that she shows any kind of, like, ability to be proactive or helpful at all.
Yeah.
And it's out of nowhere.
And, Nathan, do you think she looked slightly like Karen from Knots Landing?
I could see that, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could.
Sorry, that thought just popped into my head.
Yeah, I agree. But now, as far as in the movie context, what you guys all have to realize is when you're married, you know everything going on in the other person's brain. So she probably just knew.
Yeah, she probably saw his text on his iPhone.
Yep.
She knew her husband was messing with another coochie, and she had to go stop it.
That's it. She had that women's intuition.
He sent her a message on the iPhone, BRB, going to kill Rawhead, lol.
Yeah.
She had that women's intuition about it. She got it.
But she was
to sniff each other out.
I like to see somebody should do some kind of photoplasty of like people like in horror films like sending messages that were left off screen in like text speak.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I like after I keep picturing her after defeating Rawhead Rex, like, hey guys, just defeated Rawhead Rex, hashtag YOLO.
I can see in Friday the 13th, part 5, Reggie the Reckless texting Tommy like, hey, we need your help saving us from Jason, plus Pam's nipping hard.
God damn it. This is a good idea. Good.
That's your next Albuquerque round table.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, that's going to be it. You guys already have it nailed down, so think about that between now and the next episode. What you think characters would text.
So Jason just texts BRB as he's dying?
Yeah.
Declan gets a text from Rawhead. I got to take a piss. Get out of here. Oh, good stuff. Good stuff.
The short story is much ruder than the actual film, as you can imagine. There's a scene where Rawhead Rex is a wank in the church at one stage.
Oh. Mm. Well, you know that there's supposed to be, or there was talk of a remake of this back in 2010. I don't know if it'll ever come to anything, but Clive Barker wanted to direct it himself, didn't he? So it'd be interesting if he went all out, as it were.
Well, you know
I
was just going to say, you know, obviously, I'm pretty sure everyone knows that Clive Barker pretty much like denounced the film because they did not stick to the bones of his short story. But I think he's only got himself to blame because he wrote the screenplay. So.
Yeah, but they changed it, though, apparently. So.
This his very first film adaptation?
He also wrote the screenplay for a film called Underworld, which is done by the same makers. But I don't think it was adapted from any of his previous work. I think it was
Is that the same as Transmutations?
The same film, yeah.
Yeah. Is that any good?
I've never seen it, actually.
No, it's actually worse than Rawhead Rex. It's like, I think they did Transmutations, and then I think Rawhead Rex was like their step up, which wasn't much of a step up. I mean, but you know what I'm saying, but still.
Like the Step Up movies, like Step Up to the Rex?
Yeah, that's it. Step Up to the Rex.
Rex has got to learn to dance then.
Well, shall we seek into some background?
Sure.
I think we could seek into some background.
Okay. Well, Joseph, do you want to take it away?
I mean, basically, that's pretty much the only thing I have aside from the actor who plays Rawhead Rex. God, he's got that really long. His name's like Heinrich von Schellendorf. It's a big German or an Austrian guy. Surprise there. Apparently, he was like a tennis player, and they had a hard time like directing his movements because. I think he was just like burning up and under the mask, and he couldn't see, and sweat was getting in his eyes, and apparently he was just this huge, like, you know, formidable presence. But they said he was like a kind of a crybaby, and then he just never really went on to do anything else. So that's his only screen credit. We've already talked about how Clive Barker just basically disowned the project. There is a heavy metal band from the late 80s, early 90s. I think they're called Rawhead Rex after the film. If you probably look them up on YouTube, they have some tracks on there if you're into that sort of thing. This would be probably more suited to Eric, but apparently didn't Cora Lunny, who played Minty, show up at your work, Eric?
She did indeed, because she's now she'd be a very respected violin player in Ireland. She's played on... lots of different albums and with different orchestras. She goes under the name of Cora Venus Lunny now. But yeah, she was in my workplace because she was doing a program on the radio station that I work at. And I didn't realize at the time that she was Minty from Rawhead Rex, and she had a famous scene where she goes for a piss behind a bush. Yes, but had I known, yeah.
That's pretty much all I have. So what about you, Johnny? You have anything?
I have no I have no real trivia. I just have a couple funny little things. During the movie, two songs kept repeating in my brain, with the main characters being their last name being Hollenbeck. I kept getting "Ain't No Hollenbeck Girl."
I was singing that as well. I was trying to get my joke of the week to be based around that, but I couldn't get it to work.
And the other one was Rawhead Rex when he first emerges. I'm like, think of that DMX song, like Rawhead Rex, what you really want? But that's all I got. Nothing. It just entertained me.
Nathan.
Yes.
What?
It's not much, but it was something that I discovered just recently because I've watched that show All in the Family, and the actor David Dukes played a character on All in the Family who actually tried to rape the wife, Edith, on the show. And the thing about the show is, for anybody that doesn't know about it, is Edith was just one of these like extremely nice, could be your grandmother type women. And so when he did that, like, it made the fans angry. So he had remarked once that he had gotten like a lot of death threats. Thank you, Axel. He had gotten the actor got a lot of death threats for that guest role in that episode where he tried to rape her.
Jeez. Well, Edith did become a freak in the sack after that, but...
Oh, Archie! Whoa. You owe me a Coke. I'll take a Dr. Pepper, though.
But anyway, that's all I have, except to say that I don't want to step on Eric's toes, but I actually have a joke I'm going to tell later, too.
Ooh.
Don't worry, Eric. It's nowhere near as good as yours, and it has nothing to do with anything.
Okay, Eric.
Yes, well, I have a few things. First of all, Kelly Piper, who I was saying was the had all the acting talent of Ronnie Blakely in Nightmare on Elm Street, she was also in Maniac, which we were talking about earlier, the original 1980 version. She played the nurse who was killed in the subway toilet. As I said, I read the short story this week, and it differs in a number of ways, but it is kind of faithful to it. The short story is set 40 miles southeast of London, and the main couple in it are British rather than American. The reason that it was set in Ireland for the film version is for financial reasons, pure and simple, no other reason for it. As I said, Rex has the opportunity to kill the farmhouse farm wife, whatever you want to call her, in the barn, but senses that she is menstruating, so he declines. So he eats her horse instead, which sounds kind of like a euphemism.
Okay, I've got to read this story.
And the farmer, I think it's the farmer, goes into the barn and finds the Rawhead Rex chewing away on the horse with the intestines wrapped around him. So it's all very grim and horrible. The woman does end up dying incidentally in the end because she falls downstairs and breaks her neck trying to escape. Also, Rawhead Rex has a tendency to castrate his male victims in the short story. As I said, he has a wank in the church. Declan O'Brien, who's the insane verger, does a shit in the church and smears it all over the altar, which is kind of a goth thing to do, Justin, isn't it?
Well, not really.
Goths do that type of thing, don't they?
No.
They do. Rex is also, he seems more intelligent in the short story, and he's been awoken from a sort of 300-year slumber or something is the indication, and he sees cars going... Well, I just said he's intelligent, but he seems to view cars as if they're living creatures. He's confused by them anyway, but he realizes that the liquid that leaks out of them is flammable, and he uses that against the town folk by setting the town alight. Also, there's a bit in the short story where if you touch the altar, it gives you a big stiffy. Yeah. As well, you know, the way they touch it and it glows orange and that's in the short story, but they also get a big stiffy as well. It was filmed in February of 1986 in County Wicklow on a budget of $2 million. They shot for 7 weeks, which seems quite an excessive shoot for a low-budget movie. The creature effects were by Peter Litton, who was one of the credited directors on Slaughter High. As you were saying, Joseph, the creature that Clive Barker had envisaged in his head was a 9-foot phallus. So basically,
he's basically just going for basically dick versus vagina.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the final bit of trivia I have is we were talking about there about Cora Lunny, who plays Minty. She played on a Sinead O'Connor record in 2002. In 2003, her father, who's also a famous Irish musician called Donal Lunny, worked with Sinead O'Connor and then shagged her. And they had a child in March of 2004. So Cora Lunny's half-brother, his mother is Sinead O'Connor. There you go.
Oh, wow. Have any of you seen the sequel to this with Whoopi Goldberg?
Ghost? Is
it Theodore Rex?
Sorry?
Theodore Rex?
That's Johnny's joke of the week.
I don't think I get it.
Whoopi Goldberg did a movie in the 90s called Theodore Rex with a small dinosaur she was friends with.
Okay, I missed that one. Yeah.
It made me laugh a little bit.
No, it is good. It's just I wasn't aware of Theodore Rex as a movie. Sorry.
Oh, that's probably for the best.
All right, Justin, do you have any background info?
The only thing that hasn't been covered was that the film did actually get a cinematic release in the United States in 1987. So it did actually play theatres. So I wonder what it would have been like for audiences watching it back then. But apart from that, everything else has been covered, I think.
I thought it was 86 because my older brother says he saw it back in 86 at the theater. So, I mean, he could have been mistaken, but he did say he saw it at the cinema.
It might have come out in 86, but it was certainly still on release in 87, according to Variety.
It was so successful that it was carried over into the next year. Just lines around the block to see Royal Directs.
Yeah. It was the T2 of the 80s.
Yeah, exactly. It was just like T2.
So, well, that is probably the only Irish horror movie we'll be covering on this podcast.
Although what about that one that we haven't saw the trailer for the last week?
Yes.
I can't remember the title.
Oh, I cannot wait for that one.
that one looks awesome. Like something, yeah.
Something indeed, yes.
Yeah.
But I think it's probably now time for Eric and Nathan's Joke of the Week. Are we? Are you ready to go, Eric?
I am ready to go.
Here you go.
It's my joke of the week. It's so fantastic.
What did Clive Barker think of the experience of making Rawhead Rex? He thought it was rough.
That was a good one. I actually like that one.
Thanks,
Eric.
Joseph. Thank you. Now it's over to you, Nathan.
It's just Rawhead Rex. So bad it's good.
Now I kind of don't want to do mine anymore because mine's very, very lame.
Well, I am an expert. You know, I'm a genius at jokes. So don't feel too bad.
Well, here's your jingle. Well. Nathan, here's your jingle.
It's my joke of the week. It's so fantastic.
Okay, this is bad, but Justin, what do you do when Argento's hair is messed up very badly?
I don't know, Nathan. What do I do?
You give the cat a comb.
That was.
I quite like that one.
No, thank you, Nathan.
I will say that I shan't step on Eric's joke of the week. That popped in my head before the episode because I was watching a trailer for As Above, So Below, and they mentioned the catacombs. So I thought, oh, that's I'll use that as a joke.
Well, that was very good. Thank you. It was better than Eric's. So
it wasn't better than mine.
my go-to joke is always, what is brown and rhymes with Snoop? It's Dr. Dre.
Oh, very good.
Good one.
I'm waking up still.
Yeah. Well, this is the hysteria continues, and the hysteria does continue, as you can hear. So, what do we do now? Feedback? Do we have any feedback?
Well, I just want to say that I think you spotted this as well on Facebook this morning. Justin, that Dean McKenzie alerted us to an interesting fact. He was watching a horror movie called Preservation, and at the start, one of the actors mentions the cat flushing a toilet slung. Coincidence, or is someone behind the movie a fan of the podcast?
Exactly, and here it is.
He's a cat.
So that hasn't been around for a little while, but hopefully we'll make a... We'll have to sort of find some way of bringing the cat flushing the toilet back in to the show without the top threes.
Yes. You can probably play it after Eric's joke with a week most of the time.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Harsh.
It's very true. Harsh. Harsh.
But not this one, because I actually thought this one was funny.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much.
That's good. So, well, I kind of guess we that's kind of wrapping it up, isn't it? So do we want to talk about what we're going to be doing next time?
Sure.
Yes. Yes.
To say.
It's another date coming up.
Yes.
A very important date.
Another Friday the 13th. And you know what that means.
Another one?
Another one. Yes.
Run to the New Bloods.
Yep. Next time we're going to be back to Crystal Lake for Bitches and Pearl Necklaces. And with Friday the 13th, Part 7, The New Bloods. So that's going to be coming up. I'm not sure exactly when we're recording that, but this is going out 2 weeks after we recorded. So hopefully it won't be too much off schedule. Because obviously, as usual, Eric's ruined everything.
I have ruined it.
But yes. But also, I want to say thank you very much to Johnny for coming on the show. And Johnny,
thank you, Johnny.
Where can people find you?
I love coming on the show.
Yeah, we'd love having you, as it were. Where can we find you?
At KrugerNation.com. Also, JohnnyKrug@gmail.com, and on Twitter and Facebook, I'm Johnny Krug.
Excellent. Okay. Well, do check out Kruger Nation. And I'm sure we'll have Johnny back on soon. But we're going to play out. What are we going to play out with?
This is just that music that Nathan likes over the credits.
Yay!
Okay. And obviously, I'm sure that Susie and the Banshees track won't make an appearance.
Oh, for accidentally God's
fall
sake.
In there.
Is there ever an episode she's not on?
Well, I was thinking the other one I could do is Sheila and Nagig by PJ Harvey.
Yeah, PJ Harvey, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe I'll do a little mega mix.
Although this episode was a little light with the Toya jokes.
Well, considering...
Yeah, and let's leave it that way. What were you about to say, Justin Kurzweil?
No, nothing. I wouldn't say anything about... no, I wouldn't say it. I wouldn't say it. I thought we had a truce anyway,
yeah,
Eric.
Yeah,
it's holding as well as the one in Ukraine, isn't it, at the moment?
I think so, yeah. Ooh, political.
I know. Yes. So, well, thanks for listening, as ever, and we will be back, and back to Crystal Lake. So we'll play out some music from the end of Rawhead Rex, and maybe a little surprise in there, and see you next time. So say goodbye to the good people.
Goodbye, good people.
Bye.
Goodbye, Rawhead Rex.
Get upstairs, fuckface. I can't keep God waiting.
But he reminded me of kind of an Irish Justin, if Justin was a man of the cloth.
In what way?
Because he's got a potty mouth like you.
Oh, Eric, I think, well, we both know.
And he likes to be wee done.
And then Justin was like, well, that's not my anus.
Classic Justin.
You should have told the story on air.
Eric's Irish accent is just terrible.
Yeah. Go on there, fuckface. Get up there now.
Is that your pull-up sort of chat-up line?
Yeah, it is. It works. Never fails. That accent gets me paid and laid.
Johnny, do you want to come on the show? Do you want to come on the show? And maybe you could swap with one of us.
Yeah, instead of us. No, yeah, you come on instead of me. For Nathan's double bill.
No, you guys have to be on here for my double bill.
I'll edit this and get it up next week.
Ah, really? Yeah.